All right. Well, we're going to be actually beginning a brand new series. It's going to be a short series. It's going to basically take us through the month of November. And then, of course, we get into December, we're going to be starting our Christmas series. I always look forward to every year. So this is going to be kind of a short series. It's going to be a three-week series. And I'm just going to let you know now, you came the wrong week. I'm glad you're here, but you came the wrong week because Pastor Sarah is going to be sharing next week, and she's going to do a great job. So thank you for being here and putting up with me to get to her. But we are going to be starting a brand new series. I'm excited to share it with you because in a lot of ways, this is a very, no pun intended, very timely series for me. This idea, this thought came to me a little while ago as I was kind of thinking about kind of life and things like that. Because I don't know about you, but obviously this time of year, I tend to, and what I mean by this time of year, like as we get into the holidays, I tend to kind of get a little, maybe this idea of a little reminiscing, a little memories, and I start to think about all these things. I don't know about you, but on my phone, I have this little, you know, app that basically on the home screen, like a picture will come up from my phone just randomly and all this sort of stuff. And I'm usually really good if it's more like a recent picture. But like if it's a baby picture of Easton or something like that, like I kind of have a moment. You know, and I kind of get a little, I don't like this. This is a little bit hard. And it really kind of begins to show me and remind me how quickly the time is actually moving. You know, we were talking earlier in our home just a couple weeks ago about how here we are again. You know, Thanksgiving is now just a couple weeks away, and it's going to be here before we know it, and then it's going to be Christmas time and all those sort of things. And it's very easy at times, I'm going to try not to use that word too much, to forget how quickly the time can go. And really what happens is after the time has happened, we kind of take that step back and go, oh my goodness, it's already past now, and it's already moving forward. The title of the series this morning that we're going to be looking at is simply entitled The Time. And here's what's great. Here's the thing I love about Scripture. The Bible is not silent when it comes to the time. And we're going to explain in a minute what I mean when I say the time. But it's not silent on it. The Bible gives us some instructions. It's there to help us understand the idea of the time. God is not silent on that and wants us to understand the time that we have. Because here's the thing. Here's what I've learned. You know what? You're going to probably always going to be able to make a little bit more money. You're going to always be able to do certain things. But you know what I've learned? You can't get time back. Once it's been gone, it's gone. Let me prove it to you, okay? Most of you, I don't know if you have this very ancient device on your wrist, and if you do, it's not ancient anymore, but it's something that looks like this. And I want everybody that has one of these to do something crazy. I want you to look down at it. Maybe you have one that has a screen on it. Anyway, pop the screen on, look at it, and you're going to see something quite amazing. Looking at it? That second, you'll never get it back. That one, gone. Oh, my goodness, that one. Oh, boy, I wasted that by talking about nothing. It's gone. They're going. And Scripture helps us understand that and helps us to see some things a little bit deeper when it comes to that. The idea of this series, as we're kind of introing it a little bit this morning and then getting into some ideas here, are really, I think, things that we need to hear, we need to understand, because the time is moving. And I don't want us to waste what God has given us, because the time that he's given us is a precious gift. And I don't want to waste it. Let's pray. Father, we love you and we thank you. We thank you for this opportunity to look at your word together. Help us, God. Help us to see what you desire us to see. We ask that my words would cease and that yours would begin. We love you. In Jesus' name, amen. As we kind of continue to intro the series, I want to kind of give you our main verse when we look at the series and kind of give you some insight in it before we kind of jump into a little bit more application and things this morning. But our verse for this series is found in Ephesians 5. In Ephesians 5, Paul is writing to the church in Ephesus, and this is what he says. We're going to start with verse number 15 and go to 17. We'll look at this verse every week. It says, "Look carefully then how you walk, not as unwise but as wise, making the best use of the time, because the days are evil. Therefore, do not be foolish, but understand what the will of the Lord is. As we look at this scripture together, there's a couple things I want to pull out very, very quickly. You see, what we see here is Paul is helping us understand that when we use the time well, we're wise. If we understand that, we will be wise, not unwise. He also is helping us understand we need to use the best use of our time because the days we live in are evil. They're not good, basically. They're not good then. They're obviously not good now. And so he says, as verse 17 says, therefore, because I don't want you to be unwise, because I want you to use the best use of the time, because the days are evil, don't be foolish, but understand what the will of the Lord is. What does God say about the time? What can we understand about the time? Because I'm going to try to say that quite a bit. I could very easily say this morning, I could say time. But that's not what Paul is communicating here as we go back and look at the original Greek. You see, this is in your notes. I know it's a little bit longer, but I wanted you to get this. This is very important as we look at the entirety of the series. So we're going to look at this and then we'll look at it a little bit deeper. There were two ancient words used for time, okay? One had the idea simply of day upon day and hour upon hour. Let me give you an example. If I asked you, basically, I said, Tammy, what is the time? She would understand that, look down at her watch and say, this is the time. That was one idea. The other had the idea of a defined or definite portion of time, a time where something should happen. It is the difference between time and the time. The idea here in this verse is of the time. It is a definite season of opportunity that Christians must redeem. You see, we have the time. You carry the time on your watch or on your phone or on the wall or whatever it might be. Paul here is talking about the time. You see, each of us have the time that God has given us. And what we have to figure out, what we need to be about, is making sure that we're using that time well. Using that time in the way that God would desire for us to use it. Basically, the question that we're going to be looking at, we'll talk about this all week or all over the next several weeks, is how do we best spend the time in the light of eternity? You see, we can spend our time doing lots of different things. And we do. But in the light of eternity, understanding that we don't have all the time in the world, I'm probably going to say a lot of those types of sayings over the next 3 weeks. What are we doing with it? What are we doing with what God has given us? Because here's what I've learned. If you look at scripture, or you look at the story of the talents or whatever, God has invested things in us, and God wants a return for his investment. We want to bring forth a return in his investment, but we only have a certain amount of time. There will be a time where time for us stops. Whether that's when we take our last breath or Jesus comes and takes us all home, there will be a time where the time will stop. And we want to be able to look at our lives and go, how are we using this precious gift in the light of eternity? So this morning, I want to give us kind of this idea and kind of help us to start this process. Because here's the deal. Maybe some of you are really, really good with time. Maybe some of you are not so good with time. Maybe some of you understand that you're not so good with time. Maybe some of you think you're good in time, and maybe you're not so good with time. Whatever it is, I want us to walk as wise, not as unwise. I want us to understand what the will of the Father is so that we can best use the time. So let's look at this together. And here's what I found. If we're going to do this, we have to take a first step. And this morning, what I want to do is kind of give you that first step. Because if you miss this step, you're going to find it very, very difficult to use the time the way the Lord wants you to use the time. So let's start this morning together. So I want to give you this morning the first, the fourth, the eighth, the 11th, and the 20th step of redeeming the time. Now, you might go, that's weird, that's strange, why did you do that? Listen, when I wrote it this week, I thought it was going to be strange and weird and so on and so forth. But what I wanted you to understand is, yes, this is the first step for a lot of us, but it doesn't stop here. You see, some of us have taken this step before, but we haven't continued in our walk, and we've kind of gotten so busy with other things. We've forgotten that this is a step that sometimes we need to stop, kind of reevaluate, and begin to take it again and again and again. Because for some of us, we've taken this step before, but we haven't taken it in such a long time that we have forgotten how important this step truly is when we understand the idea of using and redeeming, as some translations say, the time. You see, Jesus understood this step, and it was a step that he didn't just take once, he took several times. But I want to give you just a couple of examples here. I want to give you just a couple of scriptures that show Jesus taking this step different times during his journey. But before I do, I want to kind of bring it up with this idea. I remember I had a roommate growing up for just a couple years that I remember, and he was my brother, but I had a roommate for just a couple years. And then when I turned about third grade, I don't remember how old I was in third grade, but in third grade, we moved into a new house and I got my own room, which for an eight-year-old, I mean, that's a big, big deal, you know, got my own room. And then I did not have a roommate from that time until I was a freshman in college. Some of you have heard me talk about my roommate in college. His name is Joel. He's a pastor now in California. Great, amazing guy. I still talk to him. He's doing well. And it's really cool. But I remember when we first came together, first as roommates, I hadn't really lived with anybody in a room setting like that for a long, long time. And he really hadn't either. He had a brother, but they didn't share a room either. And so we were kind of newbies together. So he and I kind of got together. And one thing I learned about Joel is Joel loved him some music. Loved it. Like, he liked music a lot. And although I didn't mind the type of music he liked, and he didn't mind the type of music I liked, we weren't going to the same concerts, okay? We just weren't. And I remember, like, okay, man, it's freshman year, and we're gonna hit the ground running. I'm all excited about school and all this sort of stuff. So it's like we're starting to get homework. The couple weeks start coming in, and now we're starting to study and doing all the college-y things and all this sort of stuff. And so I remember we'd be in the room. He'd come in, and, man, the first thing he would do when he'd enter the room is he'd turn on the stereo. And he'd have the music going, and I was like, okay, that's fine. You know, I mean, that's great. No big deal. But I remember when it was time to study, he'd turn on the music, and he'd sit down, and he'd be bopping along, studying, and I'd be sitting there next to him, and I'd be studying, and I'd kind of be working on things and all this sort of stuff, and I didn't think much about it, but I was just studying, having a good old time. Well, then I started getting some tests back. Things didn't quite work out the way they should have been working out, and I remember going, what is going on? Like, why can't I remember this stuff? This isn't difficult. This isn't hard stuff necessarily, and I'm having a very hard time. And so I was just kind of thinking, like, what is different? Like, in high school, I didn't have any issue. I didn't have any problem. Now all of a sudden, I'm having all this issue. And then I realized something. I was a person that studied in the quiet. I do not do well to study or to learn with noise around me. Joel, on the other hand, he had a hard time studying without noise around him. And I remember having this difficulty of like I couldn't figure out what to do. And finally, I just looked at him and said, Joel, I don't want to go to the library. I can't go to the library at night because it's closed. I can't study with all this noise. I can't focus on what I need to accomplish. There's too much noise. And here's the deal. The noise wasn't a bad noise necessarily. It was just noise. And for me personally, I had a hard time focusing in on what I was supposed to focus in on because of the noise. Now, Joel, being an amazing roommate, basically said no problem, and he went and got some headphones. And so I could study in the quiet. He could have his headphones on and study. But here's the thing. A lot of times in our lives, one of the reasons we have such a hard time with the time and redeeming the time is all the noise that are sometimes in our lives. Jesus dealt with this as well. Look at this with me. Mark 1. In Mark 1, we're going to look at verses 35 through 39. This is what it says. It says, before daybreak the next morning, listen here, Jesus got up and went to an isolated place to pray. Later, Simon and the others went out to find him. When they found him, they said, everyone is looking for you. Okay, let me kind of express to you a little bit of context here. In the early parts of Mark 1, Jesus has begun to heal some people, and people are looking for him, and he's done some great, mighty things. And so basically, people are trying to figure out where he has gone off to. And he says, everybody's looking for you. Jesus replied, we must go to the other towns as well, and I will preach to them too. That is why I came. So he traveled through the region of Galilee, preaching in the synagogues and casting out demons. Now here's the deal. Jesus had some important things to accomplish. He had some important priorities that needed to be taken care of while he was here on earth. Jesus had a very, when you think about it, a very limited amount of his time. And so in this moment, you have this idea, this thought, well, shouldn't Jesus be ministering to everybody? Shouldn't Jesus be healing the sick? Shouldn't Jesus be preaching? Yes, yes, and yes. And he did those things. But Jesus also remembered the first, the fourth, the eighth, the 11th, and the 20th step. He understood that to do those things well, to accomplish them in the way that God wanted him to accomplish, he first at times had to spend time quieting the noise that was around him, the distractions that could be there, get with his Father, and allow those moments to really help him to accomplish the things he needed to do. You see, some of us, we have forgotten that step. We have gotten so busy. Some things with good things, let's be honest, and some things probably not so with good things. But we become so occupied. We've been so distracted by these ideas and these things. Again, some of them very, very good, that we have forgotten the first step, and therefore we have not redeemed the time or used the time as effectively as God has called us to do. Another example of this is in Luke 5. Luke 5, verse number 15 and 16 says this. It says, but despite Jesus' instructions, he basically told somebody, I love this story, he basically tells somebody, don't tell everybody I healed you. But he does it anyway. He says, despite his instructions, the report of his power spread even faster, and vast crowds came to hear him preach and to heal their diseases. Now listen, if you stop with verse number 15, man, that's a pretty great verse. Look at all that Jesus is doing here. He's healing people. He's preaching to people. He is about his Father's business in so many different ways. Why does Jesus come? He tells us to find and save the lost. That's what he's doing. But look at verse 16. But Jesus often withdrew to the wilderness for prayer. Jesus never forgot the step that he needed to take that sometimes we forget. Listen, to best use the time that Jesus had here on earth, first, he had to make sure that he quieted the noise by withdrawing so he could focus on God and what God had called him to accomplish. You see, for some of us, when we talk about the time, we get this idea that, oh my goodness, we don't have a lot of time, and so I have to be so busy and so crazy and so hectic and moving here and there and doing all these things. And really what we actually learn is the first step is to make sure that we have quieted ourselves, got away with God to allow him to change our hearts and our minds so we can actually accomplish more for the kingdom of God. Is that easy? No. Do we want to be about our Father's business? Yes. Did Jesus have a short amount of time? Yes. But even he often said, you know what? I need to step back a little bit and allow my heart, my mind, my soul to be refreshed in God's presence. Listen, and this is how this works. Some of us think to do that, what we need to do is go on another vacation. And so we go on our vacation, we're hectic, we're crazy, we got to do this, we got to see this, we got to do that, we got to do that. And then we come back and what do we say? I need a vacation from my vacation. Because vacation isn't always going to make an impact. Should you take a vacation? Yeah, I think so. Do we need to rest? Absolutely. But how we rest is important. And really, who we rest with is even more important. Because that's what Jesus did. Why is this important? I'm going to tell you. Because if you're not careful, noise, distraction, all those things actually steal things from us. Like we think it's a harmless little thing. It's not. You see, when Scripture tells us that this is important, it really actually is. And God knows what he's talking about. Because I've found this in my own life, that when the noise or the distractions come, it's not benign. It's not unhurtful in some way or shape or form. It actually steals things from us. Jesus understood this, and so he took this step a lot. It's a step that if we're going to really be used by God in this area of our lives, we have to learn as well. But to help us understand that in a deeper understanding, I want to give us four things that noise will steal from us. Four things that you can be aware of so that you can kind of look at and go, man, if this is being stolen, what do I need to do? I need to step back. I need to allow God's presence to come. I need to kind of quiet the noise, even the noise sometimes that may be good things, so that I can focus in a little bit more on the eternal things that God has for me to do. So number one, obviously, noise steals the time. Noise steals the time. And again, remember, we're talking about the time. Not just time, but the time. Look at 1 Corinthians 7. 1 Corinthians 7, 35 says this, but, do we not have that one?
No.
That's all right. Let me get there. No worries. We're just doing it like they used to do it. There we go. Oops, one page over. 1 Corinthians 7, verse number 35. This is what it says. It says, I am saying this for your benefit, not to place restrictions on you. I want you to do whatever will help you serve the Lord best with as few distractions as possible. You see, what we have found or what we can learn from this is that noise in the idea of basically this idea of things that kind of distract us and keep us will steal those times away. And what we'll end up doing is we'll kind of wake up one day and we'll realize, oh my goodness, it's November 10th. And we'll say things like, where did the time go? Well, here's the deal. Here's the thing I've learned. I don't know if you've learned this, but I've learned this. Basically, every day, there's still 24 hours in it. Every day you get still has the same amount of time. But we tend to get so distracted with so many other things that we miss that opportunity. And here's the deal. It can be so many different things that can basically steal that time, the noise. It could be being on the internet or watching something on TV. It could be basically doing lots of different things. I don't need to get into basically the idea of time stealers, but I think you know what they are, especially in your own life. If you don't know what maybe one is, do me a favor, and this may scare you a little bit, but I don't know about Android stuff. I don't have any of those. But on my phone, I get this little thing every week that I don't like to read. Some of you are laughing because you know exactly what I'm talking about. It's like screen time, you know, grade report, or grade card. And you can open that up and you can look and you can go, wow, I used this a lot this week. And you can get even more detailed and figure out like how you used it and what you were looking at and how, and all those things. And listen, I'm not saying that some of these things aren't valuable in their place. But for some of us, they have become basically time stealers. I've talked about this before, and I know it's an easy kind of low-hanging fruit, so forgive me on this, but you know, you go out to a restaurant nowadays, and that all of a sudden should be a little bit more of a special occasion. And you have these people sitting next to each other with their faces here instead of here. And they're losing the time. They're losing that opportunity to really do those things. And here's the thing. As Paul wrote, listen, I'm not here to put restrictions on you. I'm not here. I just want us to learn things that will keep us from being so distracted from what God really wants to do in our hearts and through us. Things that will last for eternity. And it is hard, and I get that. And I'm not trying to... You know, again, it would be real easy for, you know, stand up here on a soapbox and scream of the evils of the internet or of our cell phones or whatever. And here's the deal. Like, I like the internet. I like my phone. But if we're not careful, all of a sudden as we're going to look back on our lives and go, boy, I spent a lot of time with my head down on a screen instead of investing for eternity. And I don't want that for me. I don't want that for you, because I think one of the things the enemy loves to do, remember, he's the one that kills, steals, and destroys, is keep us so distracted that we miss making the impact that he desires, God desires for us to make for all eternity. So I want to, just because of that, I just want to give you a couple real quick, some steps to take back the time, okay? Because we lose this. This is kind of a big one for a lot of us. So just a couple things to maybe look at in your life to help you with this. Number one, we need to create healthy boundaries, okay? Okay? You need to create healthy boundaries. Now, again, whether this be your phone or a certain activity or a certain hobby or whatever it might be, again, there is nothing wrong with these things in general. But when they become addictions, when they become something that we focus too much on, they can be problems. So we have to create some healthy boundaries for that. We need to basically say, okay, listen, I can be on my phone from maybe this time to this time, but at this time, the phone goes away. Hey, when we're having dinner together, the phone goes away. Okay, when we're doing this or whatever. And you have to be the one to set those boundaries. Now, of course, as parents and things like that, I would encourage you to help your children who are not quite yet ready or understand that concept quite yet, to set those for them so they learn now to have those things. Again, it's not this situation where we need to take all of our thrones and phones and throw them in the fire. But at the same time, it's a situation where we need to create some boundaries so that we can take that time and make sure we're not losing it. Number two, we need to replace the time stealers with the time redeemers. Okay, because here's what typically what we do. Here's what you hear a lot of times when it comes to this sort of stuff. Okay, well, just set it up. Make the phone blow up or whatever at this time every day and blah, 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 blah. And that's great and that's fine and that's dandy, and it doesn't last very long because we just, let's kind of be honest, I hate to say it, none of us really have a lot of self-control. Oh, I'll just check real quick. I just want to see what the weather is. 2 days later, we're back where we started. Listen, part of this understanding is not just this idea of understanding and identifying things that we lose time with, but how God wants us to put something in their place. Don't just be a person that says, I am now turning my phone off. Look at me. I'm wonderful. No, turn your phone off and then go spend time with somebody. Invest in their heart and in their lives. Read scripture. Pray. Do something. Go for a walk. Invest in someone else's life. Let them invest in you. Listen, some of us, maybe we understand that concept of time stealers, but we don't put anything in its place. I've learned this, you know, basically through people that I love and know, whether they be in my family or not, you know, this idea of retirement. Oh, I just want to get to retirement. I just want to get to retirement. Isn't that going to be wonderful when I get to retirement? Yes, it probably will be. I'm not there yet. But one thing I've learned, if you want to have a happy retirement, you can't just stare at the wall. There has to be somewhat of a replacement there. And for some of us, we miss that part. So God doesn't just want us to kind of take the time stealers away so we can be used by him. He wants to also give us some time redeemers. You go, Aaron, I don't know what that is. Well, guess what? You have a father that loves you who wants to tell you. He'll speak to your heart, who'll place things in your path. Be open to those things. But here's what I've learned. I have a very hard time. We'll look at this in a minute. Will have a very hard time hearing what God's asking me to do and going to where God wants me to go if I'm not quiet before him. If I'm allowing the time to be stolen from me, I have a hard time hearing what God really wants us to do. So first things, noise steals the time. The second thing, noise steals our peace. Oh my goodness. How timely can this be? Huh? Philippians 4, look at this with me, Philippians 4, 6 through 8. Listen to what Paul says. He says, don't worry about anything. Instead, pray about everything. You see what Paul just did there? He didn't just tell you, don't do this. He tells you how to replace it. Okay? He said, listen. When you want to worry, when you start to worry, guess what? Because we all worry, pray. He says, when you start to worry, when you worry, don't worry about it, but if you do pray, tell God what you need and thank him for all that he's done, then you will experience God's peace, which exceeds anything we can understand. His peace, listen, will guard your heart and your minds as you live in Christ Jesus. Now look at verse 8. And now, dear brothers and sisters, one final thing. Fix your thoughts on what is true and honorable and right and pure and lovely and admirable. Think about things that are excellent and worthy of praise. Listen, you realize the reason why we lose our peace is a lot of times the things we spend our time with, the focusing that we focus in on the noise, are not these things. They're not honorable. They're not pure. They're not lovely. They're not excellent. And all of a sudden, we can't understand why our peace is gone. I've talked to people. I've counseled with people who will come into my office and they'll go, oh, I just don't have any peace. I'm so worried. I'm so anxious. I'm so all these things. And I've literally looked at them and said, would you let me see your phone? Why? I just want to see what your noise levels are. And they said, what do you mean? I said, well, how much time do you spend here? How much time do you spend there? Where do you do this? What do you look at this? How are you looking at this? And all of a sudden you realize their focus and their time, the noise is stealing the peace that they have because somebody's screaming about this over here and somebody's saying this is horrible over here and some conspiracy theory is taking place over here and if we're not this or that. And instead of focusing on the things of God, we're focusing on things that are literally designed by the enemy, hear me here, to rob you of your peace and your joy. It'll steal it. So how do I quiet the noise in this area of my life so I can have those things? We focus on those things. We focus in on what is pure and what is right and what is honorable and what is true and what is lovely. And guess who I really feel kind of fits all of those characteristics. His name is Jesus. We focus on him, what he has done, what he is going to do. We allow him and his peace as we abide in his presence to change our hearts and our lives. Listen, for some of you, you can't understand why you're living in such a anxious state of affairs. You don't have any peace. You don't have any of those things. Listen, a lot of times the noise is stealing it because you are looking and focusing on things that are literally designed by the enemy to steal your peace. And God has something better for us. So sometimes to get away from that and focus in on Jesus can kind of bring that peace back. Number 3, noise steals our ability to understand with eternal perspective. Okay? What noise can do at times is keep us on the temporal instead of the eternal. And so what we end up doing is we kind of fix our eyes, as we're going to see in a minute, on these things that quite honestly are not as important as the eternal things that God wants to use us to do and make an impact in those things. Look at 2 Corinthians 4:18. It says this, so we fix our eyes not on what is seen, but what is unseen. Since what is seen is temporary, but what is unseen is eternal. Where is your eyes focused on? Because here's what I've learned. I know this from my own personal life. When I begin to focus in on what is seen, I lose the perspective of eternity. I begin to focus in on things that, quite honestly, aren't going to be around in 100 years. But relationships I invest in, things I learn about Jesus, all those types of things, man, those have eternal impacts that change so many things. And for some of us, we are so focused on the temporary that we have missed the eternal. You see, here's the thing. And I think we need to understand this. And this is not an easy thing to say. And it's also not an easy thing to do. But I love you enough. I want to express this to you. Okay? Because I think this is important and we miss this so many times. Our Father, Jesus, and our Father, the Holy Spirit, they are extremely eternally minded, okay? They love you tremendously, but they will allow temporal things that you may not understand or like to come into your life because they understand in their love and discipline and grace and mercy the eternal impact it will not only have on you, but those around you. Okay? They will allow you to have, as Paul said, that thorn in the flesh so that you can understand something eternal. That's not a sign of dislike. It's not a sign of hate. It's actually a sign of love. And I know that's hard. And when I'm in the middle of it, I'll be honest, I don't like it either. Scripture is very clear. No discipline in the time is pleasant. But it brings forth a harvest of righteousness that is eternal, not temporal. You see, one day Scripture tells us that the temporal things that we thought mattered so much are going to be gone. And what's left is the eternal things. We need to be people that don't disregard the temporal, but that our focus is on the eternal. Our eyes are focused in on what will last. And so many times, the noise will kind of take us and adjust us in a way and get us off what matters most onto the things that don't. Number four, last one. Noise steals our ability to hear God's voice. Now, here's the deal. For some of us, for a lot, we have sometimes difficulty hearing God's voice, and God doesn't speak to me, and all these sort of things. And what I've learned in my own life is the noise and the distraction and all those things can sometimes really keep me from hearing God's voice. And there's a story in the Old Testament of Elijah. And he's just, give you some context really quickly. I mean, he's just done some amazing things for God. I mean, incredible stuff, you know. Brought some prophets of Baal up onto Mount Carmel and prayed down fire from heaven, literally. And because of that, he's a hunted man. And so he runs away and he's kind of having a pity party, to be kind of honest with you. And he's really having a hard time, and he's really struggling in all these areas. And it's kind of interesting because you would think he would be doing better. I mean, he just did something absolutely amazing for God. And yet in this moment, he's allowed the noise and the distractions and all those things to kind of rob him of his peace, rob him of his joy, rob him of the time that he still has before God takes him away to heaven. It begins to steal all those things. It's kind of interesting that when you look at his story in 1 Kings 19 and 18 and kind of get that whole picture, it's amazing how much the noise, even the noise of a really great miracle and a great moment, still robs Elijah of his time, of his peace, and his eternal perspective. It's unbelievable how that works out. But not only that, but he loses his ability to hear God's voice. But here's what's great about God. He doesn't look at him. He doesn't basically say, okay, well, you know, you've messed up. You're done here. He basically says, you know what? If you won't get to a quiet place, I'll help you get to one. You see, one of the great things about our God is he loves us so much that he doesn't just look at us and say, listen, I know you need this. I know you need this time. But you know what? You're stubborn. You're stick-necked. And I just don't want to deal with you. So you know what? You're on your own. God literally will bring things into our lives to help us withdraw a little bit so that we can understand deeper what he wants to say and experience those types of things that have been robbed from us to get them back. And so basically, in some ways, that's kind of what happens in this story. So Elisha is finally alone. And the story picks up in 1 Kings 19. We're going to start looking at verse number 11 and go to 13. This is what it says. God is speaking to him now. He says, go out and stand before me on the mountain, the Lord told him. As Elijah stood there, the Lord passed by, and a mighty windstorm hit the mountain. It was such a terrible blast that the rocks were torn loose, but the Lord was not in the wind. And after the wind, there was an earthquake, but the Lord was not in the earthquake. And after the earthquake, there was a fire, but the Lord was not in the fire. And after the fire, there was a sound of a gentle whisper. When Elijah heard it, he wrapped his face in his cloak and went out and stood at the entrance of the cave. You know, I've heard this story many, many times, and it's obviously a very powerful story of where God, you know, kind of comes to us. And, you know, a lot of us grew up with kind of the translation of that idea of a still, small voice. And I don't know about you, but just me personally, when God speaks to me, that's typically how he does. He'll speak in a still, small voice, but he'll even speak even more so in his word, from his word. But here's what I think about with the context of this message and the context of this story. I have never been in an earthquake, okay? I've never been in one. Hopefully I never am, because I think that would kind of scare me a little bit. But I am from the Midwest. And I did live basically in the outskirts of Tornado Alley. I know what it is to have to go to a basement because a tornado is in the area. And I have learned something about tornadoes. When that wind blows, it's not a gentle, quiet wind. It can almost sound like a freight train going past you. Now, that is just wind. This is God bringing some of this wind. And then fire, I mean, the fire that comes and the sound, the earthquake. I mean, it talks about this idea the rocks were torn loose. You know what I'm hearing about in this whole story? This is not a quiet experience for Elijah. There is noise all around him, but yet he doesn't hear God's voice in the noise. He actually hears it in the quiet whisper. You see, God met Elijah in the quiet whisper of a voice instead of the earth-shaking phenomenon and noise that had gone before. You see, for some of us, we want to hear God's voice. We desire to hear God's voice. God is speaking to us, but we're expecting it in the noise of life. Instead of saying, you know what, God, I need to take a step back. I need to get to a quiet place so that I can hear your voice and hear what you desire for me to do and to say. And be a person that doesn't waste the time. Because here's the thing. God doesn't just want you not to waste the time, and he wants you to redeem the time, but he wants to tell you how to do that. But for some of us, we can't hear because of all the noise and all the distractions in our lives that are keeping us from hearing what God wants to say and is stealing our ability to hear God's voice. And here's the deal. As we mentioned earlier, some of these things can be not bad things. Some of these things can be bad things. But as you look back and you think about the verse that we started this series with, that we're going to look at every week, it says, how can we make the best use of the time? Like when you think about your week or you think about your day, how can you be spending your time on things of eternal impact and value? And here's the deal. I think it's fine at times to do things that are, you know, maybe not always, you know, so focused in on those ideas, but for some of us, they've become just the focus. And we've missed the things that God really wants us to look at. So this morning, as we kind of close, as we kind of laid the groundwork for kind of the first step, next week, Pastor Sarah is going to share something a little bit different that kind of goes along with this, and we'll close the series up on the 24th. But this is really the first step. If we don't deal with this first, what Pastor Sarah shares next week, what I share in a couple weeks, it won't have the impact that we need it to have. And so because of that, we need to ask ourselves a very simple question. It's in your notes. God, what is the noise in my life that is keeping me from best using the time that you've given me? Now remember, this is the time. The time. What noise, what distractions, what things have we allowed to creep in that keep us from really experiencing those moments that God truly wants to use us to make an impact for not just now, but all eternity? It's a question that for some of us, and myself included, we need to ask ourselves a lot. it can get so easy to kind of let some of the other things kind of come in, and we'll kind of miss, and all of a sudden what we'll do is we'll wake up one day and we'll realize the time is over. Here's the thing, and I'm not trying to be dramatic, and I'm just trying to be honest. But as in my role as a pastor, I get to be a part of some really kind of cool things and difficult things. And one of the things that's really, really cool is a lot of times I get to be kind of a part in kind of a weird, strange way when someone has a child. You know, I remember, you know, she's one that's not feeling well, so please pray for Emily this morning. But I remember when Gordon and Alicia called me and said, we have a daughter. And they invited me to come to the hospital. I mean, what a joy that was for me that they would, first of all, they even want me in the area. And just so you know, I got to hold her I beat most of you. I got to hold her pretty quick. They trusted me with Emily, which, you know, that kind of maybe speaks more of them than me, but I was thrilled. And I remember holding this little life. And now, again, she's not feeling good today, this morning. She's running around this place. Where did it go? And she's not technically mine, you know? She's a part of our family, but I can't imagine sometimes what Gordon and Alicia might feel. And in fact, I can, because I think about it with my own family. And it's so easy to allow those things to kind of go through, and all of a sudden we miss them. And I don't think God wants that for you and for me. You see, although we have a limited amount of time, I think God wants us to be able to use it so effectively and so great. Because here's the other thing. I talked about kind of the beginning, but also there's times, in fact, I'm going to be doing it this week, where I'm going to be with a family that's saying goodbye for now to a loved one. And I'll go to the hospital at times, as I did in this situation, before they've passed over into eternity. And be with the family and all those sort of things. And obviously, it's never easy. Even if they know the Lord and we know we'll see him again, it's never easy to say goodbye for any amount of time. And I'm just going to be honest. I'm not trying to be dramatic, and I think it's pretty self-explanatory here. And maybe I will. Maybe a new generation will come up. But I've never been in a room with someone getting ready to pass over, and they've said things like this: man, I really wish I'd spent more time on Netflix. Man, you know, if I had just spent a little more time scrolling through Instagram. You know, if I had just become a better fisherman. Now, again, is there anything wrong with those things? No. In their place, there's nothing wrong with them. But when the time is getting ready to run out, those things pale in comparison to things that last for eternity. If you've lost anyone in your life, you don't think back to the times where they were so distracted that you missed opportunity to connect with them. You think about the moments where you sat on the couch and you talked, or you looked at something together, or you had a memory, or you maybe baked something in the kitchen, or whatever it might be. You went on a walk and you talked, or you heard stories, or whatever it might be. You had conversations about who Jesus was in their life and who Jesus was in yours, and things that you understood about who God is through his scripture, and expressed those things. Maybe they were hard times, maybe they were good times, but they were things that would last for eternity. And for some of us, we need to stop and we need to ask the question, because I really believe for all of us, this question is, there is something there where we're losing the time. And listen, this is a very timely message, because for some of us, we're going to be spending some time with people that we need to invest in, whether it be Thanksgiving or Christmas, or just people at work that are probably a little more open to who Jesus is this time of year. How are we using the time? How are we redeeming the time? And more importantly than that necessarily, what is keeping us from doing that? Because for some of us, there's some noise and we're getting some things stolen that Jesus wants to restore. I want him to restore it in you. I want him to restore it in me, so that one day
whenever that day is, we can come back and go, you know what? I redeemed the time. I redeemed the time. So let's bow our heads. Let's pray. We're going to close. And so that's just a question I want us to be thinking about as we kind of close this message. What is the noise, Jesus? God, what is the noise that is keeping me from really redeeming the time? And here's the thing. I tried to kind of be really vague in a lot of ways because I believe that for you and for me, redeeming the time may look a little bit different. But here's what I do know about it. Whatever it is, it's eternally impactful, okay? So what that means is this. Maybe for you, it's spending time with a grandchild, expressing to them how much you love them and how much you're there for them, and expressing to them who Jesus is in your life. But maybe you don't have a grandchild. Maybe for you, it's spending time in God's Word. And I think all of these things can be true. So don't say one, God's Word isn't for me. No, that's for everybody. But get what you're saying here. See, God doesn't only just want to help us see what's stealing. He doesn't only just want to help us see the noise. He also, remember, he wants to give us something to that is going to be a time redeemer as well. So we don't just pray this morning, God, help me identify the time stealers. But Jesus, also help me identify what you would desire for me to do with the time. Because I really truly believe the Holy Spirit wants to be very specific this morning to you, if you'll listen. If you'll withdraw and just be with him for a bit. And here's the deal. Can I just be honest with you? This little time right now at the end of service isn't enough. You need to do this every day. You need to be with Jesus and allow him to refresh your heart and your soul. Help him to direct and guide you so that you can fulfill the time that he has for you. So whatever that area is, as I pray for you, will you pray as well? Will you ask the Lord to identify those things for you so that we can look back and know that our time, which is so valuable, is going to have eternal ramifications and blessings that come from it, okay? Father, we love you and we thank you. And God, for us, sometimes the noise can be bad things, sometimes it can be good things. Obviously, Jesus, when you were here on earth, you were doing some amazing good things. You were healing people, you were preaching, you were laying the groundwork for your church and in your disciples. But Jesus, at the same time, you never forgot the first, the eighth, the 14th, the 12th, the 30th, step. You always knew that was important. And so you got away from the noise and the distraction, so that you could totally focus in on your Father. And Jesus, if you need to do that, how much more do I need to do that? But Father, for some of us, we don't even know what the noise is. So through your Holy Spirit, will you just reveal that to us? Will you just show us? And Jesus, not only that, will you also help us to see what you desire to do in our hearts to redeem it? How can we best use the time that we have to make an impact for you and in our world? We need your help on this, and we know you'll help us, and we're thankful for it. You're so good, and we love you so much. In Jesus' name, amen. Amen. Awesome. So listen, a couple things. First of all, I love you. Thank you so much for being here. Please be in prayer again. I know of several individuals that are not feeling well. They're dealing with whatever's going around. So be praying for them this week. Number two, remember, I know how this works. I've been here long enough to understand that typically when we have signups, when it comes to food, people tend to like to wait to the very, very end. We are near the very, very end. Okay, we need to plan a little bit. So if you haven't signed up, either help us make a turkey or ham, please do that today so we can get that to you next week. And also, if you want to bring a side or whatever, please do so. Know that you're not limited necessarily to what's on that sheet, but we kind of put some things on there that are pretty typical that we typically like to have for our time together. And please make plans on being here on the 24th. It's always such a special time and such a great day. We'll come, we'll have our normal service together like we always do, and then we'll have a great lunch together to kind of welcome in the Thanksgiving season. So if you do want to help us with that, please sign up. We'll have a great time. I love you. Have a great week. We'll talk to you soon.